して。
सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
We have done up to 10. We will do 11 to 14 chanting now. Chapter 10 is 11 to 15.
Tesha mevanukam partam. Ahamajnana jantamaha. Nashayamatma bhavastaha. Jnana dīpena bhāsvatha, tesha mevānukam pārtam, ahama jnana jantamah, nāśayātyātma bhāvattah, jnana dīpena bhāsvatha, Arjuna uvāca, Param Brahma Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adideva Majam Vibhum, Arjuna Uvacha, Param Brahma Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adideva Majam Vibhum, Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve, Devashir Naradattata, Asito Devalo Vyasah, Swayam Chaiva Bravishime, Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve, Devashir Naradattata, Asito Devalo Vyasah, Swayam Chaiva Bravishime, Sarvametadhrutam Manye, Yadmam Vadati Keshava, Nahi Te Bhagavan Vyaktim, Vidur Devana Dhanavaha, Sarvametadhrutam Manye, Yadmam Vadati Keshava, Nahi Te Bhagavan Vyaktim, Vidur Devana Dhanavaha, Swayamevatmanatmanam, Vetatvam Purushottama, Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha, Deva Deva Jagatpate, Swayamevatmanatmanam, Vetatvam Purushottama, Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha, Deva Deva Jagatpate.
We have done till 10, we started with 11th verse, chapter 10.
From chapter 7 to 12 is talking about Ishwara Swarupa, and in the 7th chapter, which is called as Jnana Vijnana Yoga, he already has given a start whereby he said
both knowledge and wisdom has to be gained. Knowledge, when you say, they refer to the world, and wisdom, when you say, they refer to the Brahman which pervades the world. So this together is called Vedanta, where you have both the knowledge and wisdom. So in the 10th chapter, he first tells Arjuna, O Mahabaho, Sri Krishna speaks here, the beginning of the chapter 10, verse 1, he says, O Mahabaho, Arjuna, listen again to my supreme word which I will speak to you, who are delighted for your welfare. I am going to talk to you in depth, the nature of Brahman. Vibhuti Yoga is the chapter name. And then he says, even the host of gods and devas and rishis, nobody knows, because I am the origin. I am unborn, beginningless, etc. Then he says, the entire world has emerged out of me. I am the origin, everything evolves out of me. The inner characteristics and the external world, everything has emerged out of me. Just like how dream world emerges out of vehicle world. Because when dream world emerges out of vehicle mind, it is instantaneous. There is no time involved. It's not like Brahman has become world as an evolution. It is an imagination. So the sages, everybody, the entire world and the inner characteristics, everything has come out of me. And he said, he who knows this in reality, both the vibhuti and yoga. Vibhuti means manifestation. Yoga means union with the self, which is the stage beyond manifestation. So one who understands, who will understand? Will a dreamer understand the waker? Dreamer can never understand the waker. The dreamer will have to become the waker. So when the dreamer wakes up from the dream and becomes the waker, he will know both. That from the waker's mind, the entire dream world evolved. Then he will be in unshakable union. In the sense, not only his conscious mind, but also his subconscious mind will be rooted in the self. He will be rooted in the self, whereas we are not yet in that unshakable union condition. We hear a little bit and when we get out, immediately our identification comes to Mamta, Sadhana, Shweta, etc. Isn't it? But a person who is in unshakable union means what? He always understands that I am Atma, functioning as so-and-so. This is called unshakable union. Thereafter, the reactions that happens on the body-mind-intellect level does not happen to you. Then he says, everything comes out of me and all that. Then he says, machitta bhagata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha vam nityam tushyanticha namanticha. Such a person wants to establish himself more and more in that, and in thought, word and deed, in everything, is only walking, talking, being in Brahma. Machitta, in thoughts. Bhagata prana, the entire breathing which is associated with the perceptions and actions, in that also he lives in Brahman only. Bodhayanta parasparam, thereafter he will only be studying and reflecting about Brahman and discussing about it with everybody, nothing else. Because it's very clear, fixed, the goal is fixed. The mind dwells in that. And when a person comes to that kind of single focus, see, the mind is slowly, as a result of this knowledge, moving from the world, starts appreciating the self. Then the preoccupation is only the self. This is exactly what we were talking about last lecture before the class today. This is the same thing I was telling when we discussed this on Tuesday. I said, imagine you are told you have only few days or few months to live. That is the kind of thing in that lecture by this. What's his name? Randy Posh. And he talks, he gave a lecture, what is called his last lecture, which is also given in the book, right? He knows he's going to die. And he said, what is the legacy I'm going to leave behind for my children? And And then we give this last lecture. And the children who are very small, when they grow up, they listen to that lecture, you know. So that he keeps in mind and then leaves the legacy. If you are told also, you know, it's not that you are told, it's just that we are not aware. We take things for granted. Isn't it? We take things for granted as if one is going to live for so many more years. Though one genuinely aspires for it, and everybody wishes, everybody should live long. God knows how long the whole thing is going to be in the sanyan, right? So if you really become aware of that, then you will see what is the crux that I need to do. Today I am picking things which are frivolous, which are not going to come with me. I will stop picking all those things, that's the main thing. You know, that's what it is. So then for him the whole thing becomes self. Single pointedly the mind goes towards self. And then in 10 years, such a person who brought his mind to single point of concentration, meditation, I give him Buddhi Yoga. In other words, what Sri Krishna is saying here is, finite efforts cannot fetch infinite. Finite efforts can only remove finite obstacles. There is an infinite descent on the finite. There I gave the example of having the thought to go to sleep. You have the thought to go to sleep, you want to go to sleep, you prepare your body, your environment, your bed, everything, and go and lie on the bed with the thought of sleeping. Isn't it? When do you exactly go to sleep? Is it with your effort? In fact, your effort has to relax. The more effort you put into sleep, I must sleep, you will not be able to sleep. Exactly like that in meditation, you go and sit down with single thought, with not obsession though. Just relax with a single thought, and the single thought merges and you become Brahma. That's what he's trying to say. I will give you Buddhi Yoga. Then your complete mind will be locked in the union with the self. Next one. Tesha mevanukam partham. तेषामेवानुकं पार्थम् अहमज्ञानजं तमः अहमज्ञानजं तमः नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्थः नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्थः ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता तेषामेवानुकं पार्थम् अहमज्ञानजं तमः नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्थः ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता. Out of mere compassion for them dwelling as self. See, they are dwelling as self, in thought, word and deed. They are dwelling in Atma, not in the external paraphernalia, not in the world. He uses the word worship in verse number 9, right? Worship is a word which is misunderstood. This is what I discussed last week when we met. You may be sitting in the mandir. You are only, or that act of sitting in the mandir next to Bhagwan can only be called as worship only if your thoughts were with Bhagwan. If your thoughts were with the world, then it won't be worship. Isn't it? Similarly, all of us seems to be worshipping Bhagwan, but with the idea of what? Getting something worldly. Oh Bhagwan, give me this, oh Bhagwan, give me that. In the case of a person who is sitting in meditation, he is not interested in anything else. He is only interested in dissolving the ego and realizing the self. He's brought himself to that last stage where he can realize it. And when that is done, then by my grace, I remove that last trace of ignorance. Out of mere compassion for them, dwelling as self, I dispel the darkness born of ignorance. Who is this I? Knowledge. I is nothing but Chaitanya Swarupa. So knowledge removes the ignorance. That is a born of ignorance by the shining lamp of wisdom. The shining lamp of wisdom means what? Which is shining within you. That wisdom is always there. That dissolves the
last case of ego. Then you become one with the self. So he is depicting what happens at the last moment. Last thing is by the grace. The effort and the grace put together is equal to excellence. Right? Effort coupled with right attitude draws the grace. So a lot of us think that just by praying to Bhagavan, I'll get everything. You will not get anything. You have to put in your effort with the right attitude. When you do that, you become eligible to attract the grace. And the grace coupling with your effort and attitude results in excellence. So this is what he is saying here. When a person strives and brings himself to that last thought out of compassion, the shining lamp from within removes the last bit of ignorance. Then he realizes himself. That last thought dissolving is not in your hands. You can only bring yourself to that last thought. He is talking about meditation here. Isn't it? Initially, you have too many desires. Therefore, you have to follow a disciplined lifestyle doing lot of karma yoga. And slowly the bulk of the desires reduce, then improve the quality through bhakti yoga, and through jnana yoga you assert the self and negate the non-self and bring yourself to the single-pointed focus in meditation. And in the meditation, as you are continuing your meditation, suddenly is it the lamp of wisdom shining within fills you, removing the ignorance totally. Out of compassion I do this to you. By my own grace, the last thing will be removed. It's kind of assurance you're giving. You don't worry, that part of it I'll take it. Actually, 10th chapter is over now. But Arjuna doesn't allow Krishna to finish 10th chapter.
Guruji, I didn't understand this thing. When I'm tired of walking, I sit on the roadside of my pilgrimage out of compassion for myself.
What?
This one.
The book?
Yeah, in the book.
Swamiji's book, right?
Yeah. It's going along with what you're saying. But I'm not sure. I don't understand.
Yes. 1 minute. You're talking about verse number 11, right?
Ji.
Okay, where is it written then? Let me see the book. You are reading somebody else's book.
Yeah, that's the book I know.
I know. You are reading your book.
I know.
But anyway, what is
it? When I am tired of walking, I sit on the roadside of my pilgrimage out of compassion for myself.
I don't understand.
I am going to say for roadside of my pilgrimage, and your sadhana is there, and then I can sit on the side and reflect and go inside within again.
Of my pilgrimage, out of compassion for myself.
Out of compassion for myself?
Are you sitting out of compassion or because I die?
No. Compassion because then you're reflecting, no? If you're reflecting and going within, it's not because you're tired, you're sitting to take a step, to reflect and
giving an example here, is saying, see, first of all, in this whole context, what you need to understand is the self that reveals the self. Please understand this. Self knows the self. Now Shivani is going to sleep. Okay. When Shivani goes to sleep, and she is imagining herself to be somebody else in a dream. She is going to dream. And when Shivani wakes up, what is revealing the waker to the waker? The waker only. Isn't it? Shivani is revealing herself to herself. Like that, the self then is revealing it to itself.
Correct.
So that's what he calls as compassion to oneself.
by the self. So he says, when you are taking a walk, when you become tired, out of compassion for yourself, you take rest. It's like that, self out of compassion to oneself, releasing it. He's putting it in that sense. That's all he's saying here.
Okay, so
but the point that needs to be understood in this verse and the previous verses, it is the self that can reveal the self. Nobody else can reveal the self.
It's not
self-revealing.
It is not in the outer world, it is that capital I, that capital
I. I'll explain to you. To reveal all the objects, light is required. With what does light reveal itself? With light only. It doesn't require another source of light. Are you with me? Light means light. Light doesn't require another source. Are you with me? So similarly, your consciousness reveals everything, including itself. So, but for the consciousness to reveal itself, you have to become one with the self. At the thought level and in the bhava level, the entire subconscious level. When you come to that state, then the self reveals itself out of compassion. The word compassion is used in the sense it comes down. You know, compassion in the sense it has no motive. Like see.
And isn't that its eventual goal, like compassion? Because
when
that
you
is
do,
what you are...
When you do an act out of pity, there's a tinge of ego. When you do an act of out of compassion, there is no ego. You don't want to get anything out of it. There's no motive to help somebody or not help somebody also. It just happens naturally.
It's like a feeling of surrender, like suppose it's something and you put in a lot of effort. Then you know, and sincere then one, there's a feeling of, just a silly example, there's a feeling of surrender. So, which is within yourself only.
See, basically what he's trying to say is, you have to bring yourself to that level and let go. See, this is not just in meditation, this is the secret in everything. This is what you need to understand. You see, Madame Curie, she was struggling. So much effort has gone in. Same thing is with Archimedes. So much effort. Right? Then one day when he was relaxing in the bathroom, from where did he get the solution? Did it come through windows from outside? Did it come through pipe?
He observed the water coming up.
He just relaxed in the water, right? The tub was relaxed. After having put in the effort, simply if you won't relax, nothing will come. After having put in the effort, you understand? out of compassion to himself, he just went and relaxed. Then the solution came from where? From within.
Because he's been working on it.
Exactly. Same thing from Ramita there. The example Ramita gave is, you work hard trying to solve math problem. Right? And suddenly you are stuck. And you are struggling and it's time for dinner. So your mother is calling, hey, come, have dinner. And you just say, I'm coming. After 15 minutes again, you got 20, you got cut off. Slow down, just leaving it and then you go. Relax and you have your dinner. Go to sleep. Next day morning, or suddenly halfway through the sleep, you get up with the solution. From where is it coming? From within. When you have done that effort. So the whole way of getting things to you is to work and relax and let go. There are two things that happen. One is we don't work, one set of people. Continuously relax. Other set of people working with obsession. They don't relax. They don't let go. So the whole solution is working and out of compassion to yourself, just relax. You allow the thing to come from within. So that's the same thing. You prepare the bed, go and sleep, and then relax. Then the sleep will come. Same thing is saying, in meditation, you bring yourself to that single thought and let the thought go and then relax. When slowly you become established in samadhi. Slowly you get established in samadhi. Is that clear? So out of compassion to yourself, you let go. And the self reveals from within. It is the knowledge that has to reveal the knowledge. Your efforts, in the Atmabodha he gives this example, he says, action cannot remove ignorance because it's not contrary to it. Action is not contrary to ignorance in the sense, the base of our action is what? Vasana. See, I want to realize the self, that itself is rooted in ignorance. Why?
You are yourself.
You are already the self. See, I want to realize the self. That's the thought you have. So all other thoughts are replaced with desire to realize. As long as that desire to realize continues, will you realize? So you must understand that action or desire itself is rooted in ignorance. You bring yourself to that and then relax. And when you relax, the self from within reveals itself. The great presence of you have to just open your windows and keep quiet. Sunlight will come in. That's all you say. You cannot bring in the sunlight. You can only open up the windows.
The desire, I mean, the just to go along with this example, if when you want to realize when the I wants to realize the truth is when you are going to attempt to keep the windows open.
Yes.
Right? So
that when you open all the windows and sit down, the sun will slowly come and fill your room. Sun rays will slowly come and fill your room.
But that ignorance, no. What I am saying is that ignorance...
Do you bring the sunlight in?
No, you can't bring the sunlight in.
But do you open the doors or not?
Yeah. So that
it's out of compassion. The sunlight comes inside. It's a dramatic way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. To say that, you know, sunlight has to come down to you. You cannot get it. In the sense, your limited efforts cannot touch the infinite. But you have to open the window. That you have to do. You have to do the Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. And when you come into Dhyana Yoga, after all this discipline, you chant the mantra, you slowly bring the chanting to mental whispers, and then you just observe the thoughts that they come and go. Then finally, you plunge into silence. Then slowly, you will be absorbed into samadhi. Out of compassion, the self reveals itself. When exactly the ego dissolved and you became one with the Atma, you do not. Self reveals itself. So now with this verse, chapter 10 is over. But Arjuna does not allow Krishna to finish chapter 10. He is going to ask him to talk more in detail on vibhuti. Then why does he request this vibhuti? Because for him, he says, in what all aspects can I think of you? See, this is a method that is used in Hinduism. Ultimately, spirituality, not only Hinduism, all religion is the same thing. Ultimately, what is spirituality? The path direction is from you to the world today. That needs to be changed within. Direction from you to the world has to be changed towards the divinity within. Is that correct? That's the whole thing. But straight away, if I catch a cross person and then tell him to think of God, will he be able to think? His mind is full of world. To such a person, what you should do? You tell him, run towards the world. Isn't it? and slowly, wherever his mind is running, either you play some bhagwan, right? So that his mind is slowly associated with bhagwan. Pull him back slowly. Like mind goes to money, you say money is goddess Lakshmi. Mind goes to power, power is goddess Durga. Mind goes to accumulation of knowledge, goddess Saraswati, etc., etc. To whatever the mind goes, they planted Bhagavan. Then slowly they brought the mind back to the self. Are you with me? The same way Arjuna is asking, please talk about your vibhuti in detail instead of just saying the whole thing is you. Then in what all aspects I can think of you, it will be very helpful for my meditation. Are you with me? If I see the tree and if I study Bhagavad Gita, then in this chapter, if I see a river and he says, off the river I am Jhanvi. So a river will remind you of Jhanvi, Jhanvi will remind you of Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna will remind you of the self. The hook to bring you back.
Association.
So that is the idea that is being created from now on. Firstly, Arjuna rivers and then Sri Krishna talks about the vibhuti. Vibhuti, as I told you, means what? Manifestation. The entire world has come out of Brahman. Brahman's vibhuti is the world. Brahman is in yogic state. Even when the vibhuti expresses out of Brahman, nothing has reduced in Brahman. And when vibhuti merges back with Brahman, nothing has increased in Brahman. Like ocean. When water evaporates from ocean, has it reduced ocean in any sense? When water merges back into ocean, has it reduced ocean in any sense? No way. It is always in that yogic condition. It's just a imagination. The whole world.
अर्जुन उवाच परं ब्रह्म परं धाम पवित्रं परमं भवान् पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यं आदिदेवमजं विभुम्। अर्जुन उवाच परं ब्रह्म परं धाम पवित्रं परमं भवान् पुरुषं शाश्वतं दिव्यं आदिदेवमजं विभुम् आपुष्ट्वा मृषयः सर्वे देवश्रीर्नारदस्तथा अचितो देवलो व्यासः स्वयं चैव ब्रवीषि मे आपुष्ट्वा मृषयः सर्वे देवश्रीर्नारदस्तथा अचितो देवलो व्यासः स्वयं चैव ब्रवीषि मे।
Arjuna said to Sri Krishna, you are the supreme Brahman. Param Brahma Param Dhamma. You are the supreme Brahman, the supreme abode, the supreme purifier. The eternal Divine Purusha, the primeval God, unborn, all-pervading. All the sages acclaim thee. Also, the divine sage Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, and so do you yourself say to me. Arjuna is now telling Sri Krishna, I accept all that you said. In other words, he is showing his Shraddha, the faith. This is the thing. You are in a conditioned state now. You have to move from conditioned state to unconditioned state. Okay. He is talking about the unconditioned Brahman. Being in a conditioned state, it becomes very difficult for you to become convinced totally about it. Right? But there are so many other things that have been said with love for your benefit by the same Guru. So you develop Shraddha in the words of the Guru and the Shastra. And you say, it starts with faith, but it doesn't stop there, Shraddha. You understand? So what do you do? Yes, there is a state called unconditioned state. Now I want to get there. So then I will start working on myself with Shraddha. Are you with me? When I start working on myself with Shraddha, then slowly, slowly, that unconditioned state which was just a faith starts becoming my own experience. That is why Sri Krishna says this way, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. To move from condition to unconditioned, you have to develop a lot of Shraddha. Otherwise, why would you leave your comfort zone? It's very comfortable, huh? Why do you want to do that? If you do not believe, there is an unconditioned state which is a far superior state and it's worth the striving for that. Would you leave your comfort zone? You will not. And anything that has been achieved by anybody in this universe is by leaving that comfort zone. Because it started with faith and they trusted it and they went. And quite a lot of people have been washed away in between. Very few cross over and reach there. Like when the animals jump into the river to cross over to the other side. Some of them are washed away by the current, some of them are eaten by the crocodiles there. Very few get to the other side and they progenate. They reproduce more. Isn't it? So you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So Arjuna says, I see the light at the end of the tunnel here. That's all he says. Not that he's already seen it. If he's seen it, he's realized so. He's not seen it. But yet, I am with you. He's telling Sri Krishna now, I am with you. But you've got to help me more. That's the whole thing. See, from where Arjuna is coming here, from the first chapter if you see, what was his dialogue? Second chapter, third chapter, we truly see now, he's saying, yes, I'm with you. I'm ready to go deeper, but help me. So Guru can only help a person who is ready to help himself, no? When you go to all this yatra, Kailash yatra, even not necessarily associated with spirituality, but some mountaineering like Yudita, anything like that, there are people who have already been there maybe, who know the thing, but then you have to trust them. And then you are ready to put in that effort. Then you feel the mountain. So he says, you are the Supreme Brahman. I am not seeing you as the Sri Krishna. I completely understand and agree that you have reached that state and you are that Supreme Reality. And you are the Supreme Abode. Everything dwells in you, like you said. I completely agree with you. Like the vehicle's mind is a dwelling place for the entire dream. For the dream world, which is the dwelling place? That's Parandama. Right? But the dreamer doesn't know. Dreamer is listening to the lecture by the Guru who's woken up. Out of compassion entered your dream. I'm telling you, Baba, you're dreaming. You are the waker.
Everything has come from Vekar. So Sri Krishna is being told by Arjuna, here I am with you. You are the supreme abode. And you are the supreme purifier. Ultimately what purifies? Awareness, knowledge, nothing else. What purifies is knowledge. Why are you functioning in a sinful way? Are you good? If you had awakening, if you had knowledge, if you had wisdom, awareness, you will not function in that way. Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing, Jesus Christ. Because they don't understand what goes around, comes around. Out of ignorance they are functioning. Now won't you gain the knowledge, would you want to hurt anybody? You clearly understand. If I hurt, the hurt is going to come back to me. Actually, I am hurting myself only, nobody else. The supreme purifier. What dissolves the vasanas, desires, is the Brahman. Nothing else. Upon waking up, the entire dream unfolds. When the sun rises, there won't be any snow. Only in the absence of sun, slowly the snow makes itself comfortably existing there. Little sunlight starts falling on it, what happens? Slowly starts melting. You are the supreme purifier. And Shashvatam, eternal. Eternal Shashvata means even beyond time, before time. Take away time, space and causation, there is no world. Right? So Brahman is even beyond time. You are the Shashvata. Always there. Vekar's mind is Shashvatam with reference to the dream world. From start to finish, it's there. And even when the dream world is dissolved, it's there. Even before the dream world emerged, it is there. Isn't it? For example, it becomes even clearer. Before the dream world, Vekar's mind is. During the dream world, Vekar's mind is. After the dream world, Vekar's mind is Shashvata, eternal. And you are the divine Purusha. Purusha, one who lives in the Puri. It is the divinity that lives in the Puri. I said this before. Different Puris are there. Man Puri, woman Puri. Different set of cities, different body. Man's body is different from female body. But the self that resides is the same self. And that self is the Purusha. Right? Puru refers to the matter, Sha refers to the self that resides in the Puri. So Purusha is the self and the supreme self which resides in all the cities. The gross, subtle matter in everything, what resides is the self and that you are. That is the nature of Bhagavan.
Sorry, so Sha means the self,
the first Puru is the city, the matter. The primaval God. Primaval God? There is no God before God. Who created that God? You ask me. It's the causeless cause. It's unborn. When the wave is born, the ocean is not born. The ocean is not born at all. It's unborn. It's the wave that is born.
The reflected sun that is born. The sun is always there. Right? So you are unborn. Unborn means what? Since you are unborn, therefore there is no death for you. Death is only for the born. Since you are unborn, there is no death. I am imagining as if this world is coming to existence. This is the whole thing. There is a text called Drit, Drishya and Eka. Very few verses are there in the book, the text. Amazing book it is.
Based on that only I was talking about the Vedantic theory of perception. Vedantic theory of perception,
if you remember, I talked about idealism, realism, and Vedantic theory of perception, which reconciles both idealism and realism. This entire universe is a figment of your imagination. A beautiful story, no? Where Narad Muni and Mahavishnu are going for a walk. And that time, Narad Muni asked, "Oh Bhagavan, what is this samsara? Samsara kya ho? He is unmarried. He doesn't know what is samsara. So he asked Bhagavan, Vishnu, what is samsara? Yeah, forget about samsara and all that, man. I'm really thirsty. Go get me some water from the river that's flowing there." He went out to the river. As he was filling the bottle of water, suddenly he saw a beautiful damsel filling a pitcher there. And dhyayato vishayam pumsaha started. Means what? Attachment shuru ho gaya. Slowly he saw, constant thought went, attachment shuru ho gaya. Then he proposed. She accepted. Both got married. Produced children. Slowly he was going through samsara. Right? He could not send his children to school, fever, all problems started. Then he loudly shouted, "Oh Bhagavan, please save me from this samsara." Then he heard a voice, Mahavishnu voice, saying what? "Are Narada, what happened to my glass of water?" The story ends. What do you understand from this story?
He got entangled in the...
Samsara is true of your imagination. It is all a figment of your imagination. The biggest problem is now you are in the solid imagination. Imagine the condition. That's the problem. First you imagine you are this sadhana with this flesh and bone. And it is so deeply rooted in you. The whole universe and everything is a figment of your imagination. In a fraction of a second, he created his himself with his imagination. This is the power of imagination. I spoke to you, no? It's actually a science. What kind of image you have about yourself is what you become ultimately. So, your personal image matters a lot. Image about yourself, that which you have created. Is it a healthy image? Is it an unhealthy image? Is it a prosperous image? It is not so prosperous image? Positive image, negative image? Energetic image? Non-energetic image. I don't know what image you have projected about yourself within you. And that's what is going on getting recreated. So, yes. unborn. The whole Vishwa is born. You are not born. But the problem is you think you are born. So he says you are unborn. You are the Ishwara whom this entire universe has come. You are not born beyond birth. And then all pervading, vibhum. Though not born, ocean pervades each and every wave. Though not born, water pervades each and every wave, each and every froth and foam. Isn't it? So the same way, Brahman, though unborn, it pervades the entire universe as the self. This all sages acclaim. All sages acclaim thee. Also the divine sage Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, and so do you yourself say now to me. So when I have heard it from the Bhuloka Rishis and the Devaloka Rishis and you yourself say it, my Shraddha in it is becoming more and more powerful. That's what Arjuna is saying here. I completely agree. Next question.
सर्वमेतद्धृतं मन्ये यन्मां वदसि केशव नहि ते भगवन् व्यक्तिं विदुर्देवानधानवाः सर्वमेतद्धृतं मन्ये यन्मां वदसि केशव नहि ते भगवन् व्यक्तिं Vidurdevanadhanavaha. I regard all this that you say to me as true, O Keshava. You don't have any negative motive to get me to do anything. So I completely agree with you. I regard all this that you say to me as true, O Keshava. Verily, O blessed Lord, neither the gods nor the demons know your manifestation. See, beings of different dimensions, because they also belong to the same mind. All beings are of the mind. Are you with me? Therefore, since all beings are of the mind, all beings, whether they belong to superior dimension or inferior dimension, they all belong to mind, whereas Brahman is beyond mind. Therefore, whatever dimension they may belong to, heaven and earth, nothing but different dimensions at the mind level only. Are you with me? It's not a separate place that is there existing. It's nothing but a different dimensional experience. So he says, the devas and the asura, they also don't know you. Why? Because they also belong to the same realm of the mind. Simple. And Brahman is beyond mind. Where the thoughts end, where the vasanas end, Brahman is. So being at the dimensional level, surface level, they cannot know. You are not the object of comprehension, you are the subjective apprehension. River retaining its nature as river can never come to know of ocean. When river comes to know of ocean, the river will have to disperse its identity as a river. When the identity as river is gone, then the identity of ocean is gained. So no devas, no asuras, no rishis, nobody knows. You are not something that can be known. You are that which makes everything known. Right? That is what here Arjuna is saying, repeating what Sri Krishna said. I completely agree. No devas know you. No asuras. know you. No human beings know you. For a simple reason, intellectually they cannot comprehend you.
You lend sentiency to their otherwise insentient intellect to comprehend.
And with that intellect,
they cannot comprehend the self.
This I completely agree as true. See, this becomes very important because till the time Shraddha begins, journey doesn't begin. Are you with me? Till the time you start doubting the veracity of what you see, you will be dwelling in what you see only, more and more. Isn't it? So when you listen to the sages and all, they are all saying there is deep within you that unconditioned state which is full of infinite energy. But you are now stuck at the surface level. That's what they are showing now. Honey, I shrunk my kids. Saw that movie. Yesterday also, somebody was watching when I went there. So about 15 minutes I watched it. Lot of fun. You know? Have you seen that movie? Honey, I shrunk my kids. So you have shrunk yourself to the level of Shweta, Mamta, Sadhana, Shivani. While you are Atma, while you are Brahman. Right? So when these sages and saints say there must be some sort of Shraddha, only then would you want to go and realize that state. So your Arjuna is ascertaining a Shraddha. I regard all this that you say to me as true. Otherwise you say, okay, the theory is a nice theory. Interesting theory. The state of perception is very interesting. Supposing you say like that, would you, then it will just remain as something that you have read in the book, isn't it? Which will be topic of discussion for you when people come into your house to show that you know so many things.
Knowledge.
Especially these kind of very abstruse things. And they say, Mapa, this guy is very well read. That much only you use. In other words, such knowledge is used for such frivolous purposes. Isn't it? Sometimes when you go to somebody's house, having a cup of tea and eating some sandwich or something, they talk all these things. Is this a matter that is to be discussed in that kind of conversation? Why are they doing it? To show that they need all these things and they understand these are abstruse things, they are very intelligent. They stop at that level. It's very dangerous. Well, you have the potential to go with it. You will never ever, because you do not want your clothes to get wet. With Shraddha, you would plunge to get your clothes wet. When you are travelling on the surface of the ocean, it's like you are sitting on the comfortable boat and discussing about the beautiful world underneath. But if you have Shraddha, what will you do? You will just put on the oxygen mask and jump inside. And not just want to snorkel, but keep going deeper. When you snorkel, you will come in contact with devas and asuras. In spiritual meditation, you have to say bye-bye to them and go deeper. And when you go deeper, much deeper, you get to Brahman. The problem is, those who, first of all, many don't jump. One or two who jumps, they get stuck at that level, admiring that beauty. Very few go deeper and realize this. But for that, you need to have Shraddha. Then only you will, first of all, plunge. It's okay if my clothes get wet. That's what I'm saying. Again and again I'm saying, In fact, a lot of people, 10th and 11th chapter, they just run through fast, fast, fast. But to me, these are very deep chapters. When you understand this, what Sri Krishna is saying here, don't just stop at admiring it from distance. So Arjuna is telling Sri Krishna, I have shared that. I completely agree with you. I believe it is all true. And the moment you say, yes, I like to see all that, but can you train me? Then the scuba diver, the scuba diving training will be given to you. The fellow will be to others. He will not give you. For what? You will be ready for the gear. They will give you the gear.
They will train you. They will take you inside.
Then you will experience it yourself. So he is saying, I am ready for the inner scuba training.
So he is ready, he has Shraddha, and he wants his hand to be held.
Yes.
In a way.
That is bhakti, huh? That is bhakti. See, when you develop bhakti, last week also I spoke about this example. When you start having love towards another person, you want to live with that person. You want to share your life with that person. You discuss about that person more and more. Wherever you go. That's what he said in verse number 9. Marchitta madhyata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayanta shamamucham. What does it mean? When your devotion towards Bhagavan increases, all you want to listen to is this kind of words. Not gossip. Not negativity. Even about your enemy, when somebody talks some good qualities about them, you want to listen to that. That shows that your bhakti is intensified. Are you with me? So when the love for divinity increases, what happens? You want to get to that world. You want to become one with it. When the moth gets attracted to the fire, what does it do? Enters the flame, perishes. Becomes one with it. So when the bhakti intensifies, you want to get there. Not just the page of the book. What we are doing is, recall, just grazing the book. Words. Oh, very nice, very interesting. But all that thought in those days, my God, these great pages of our past people, you understand what I'm saying? You will be admiring it. You have to go deeper. That is Shraddha.
Swayamevatmanatmanam Vetatvam Purushottama Vetatvam Purushottama Bhutabhavana Bhutesha Bhutabhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jagatpate Deva Deva Jagatpate Swayamevatmanatmanam Vetatvam Purushottama Bhutabhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jagatpate. Verily you yourself know yourself by yourself, O Purushottama. Verily you yourself know yourself by yourself, O Purushottama. Verily, oh, you yourself know yourself by yourself, O Vekar. Does it make sense now?
No.
Vekar only knows the Vekar, no? Does the dreamer know?
By yourself. What is the word by yourself?
That's what I'm saying. Vekar knows the Vekar by the Vekar. Well, going back to the car, driver doesn't drive it, no. Keep repeating this. Vekar knows the Vekar by the Vekar. Vekar only knows the Vekar. Dreamer can never know the dreamer. O Purushottama Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha is talking about Atma, the Brahman. Brahman alone knows the Brahman. Nobody else knows. Everybody else talk about Brahman. Who knows Brahman? Only Brahman. Everybody in the dream can talk about Vekar. But who really knows the Vekar?
Vekar.
When you know the Vekar, you already become the
Vekar.
And you know that you have already woken up also. Would you check up with other person who's woken up? Do you think I've woken up?
You didn't check out. He will get frightened. Baba, where am I? Some bad fellows are around me. When you wake up, you know that you've woken up. Waker only knows the waker, no dreamer knows the dreamer.
So verily you yourself know yourself by yourself. O Purusha Uttama, O source of beings, O Lord of beings, O God of gods, O ruler of the world.
Ruler of the world means you are the ruler of all the laws. All the laws are functioning in your mere presence. That's what it means. You are the ruler. See, the laws of the dream is applicable to the dream world, not to the waker's mind. Waker's mind is that which is the adhishtana of all the laws. Whether a waker's mind doesn't come under the purview of the law. O Lord of beings, O source of beings. Beings of the dream world has come from the waker's mind. Similarly, the source of all the beings in the universe is what? Brahman. Consciousness. It is from consciousness this entire universe has evolved. This is the substratum. See, whenever you say Lord, Lord is a witness, enlivening factor. He has no motive. That's why Swamiji gives the example of petrol in a car, or electricity in the gadgets, or steam in the steam engine, steam turbine. Steam has no motive. Are you with me? Steam has no motive. In the presence of the steam, the whole thing functions. Similarly, in the presence of the Lord, the whole beings function. Lord remains as a witness. Positive, negative, nothing affects the Lord. And He is not only the Lord of beings, He is also the Lord of gods. Deva Deva, the Supreme God. This is being said because in meditation, like I said, you may get satisfied by attaining a certain superior realm. You understand that is also finite. It looks Brahmanda for you from this level. Are you with me? Brahman is even beyond the superior gods. I want to move from gods plural to God singular. This gods plural is different dimensional beings which are also the realm of the mind as I said. Which has some more power, that's all. So you should not lose yourself in it. You should have to go beyond it. You are the Deva Deva. You are even the Deva of the Indra. Indra is the Lord of gods. You are even the God of Indra. Are you with me? Even Indra's seat is not permanent. The most insecure phenomenon. So you are the Jagat Pate, ruler of the world. All the laws are paying obeisance to you. Meticulously they function, controlled by you. You are that supreme power. Next. Vaktum arhatya sheshena divyakhyatma vibhutayah divyakhyatma vibhutayah yabhir vibhuti virlokan yabhir vibhuti virlokan imanstvam vyapya tishtati imanstvam vyapya tishtati vaktum arhatya sheshena divyakhyatma vibhutayah yabhir vibhuti virlokan imanstvam vyapya tishtati. You should indeed speak without reserve. Just freely speak, he is telling Sri Krishna. Why? I am a bhakta. I want to listen to you more and more, you know. So he says, you should indeed speak without reserve of your divine glories. By which glories pervading these worlds you exist. It's very, very interesting. He says, talk about your glories freely in all various aspects. I would like to know so that my mind will be filled with the thought, whatever I see, what will I be filled with? Like when I hear Pitambara, what comes to my mind is not the yellow cloth. What comes to my mind is Sri Krishna who wears yellow cloth. Are you with me? So Pitambara is the glory, but yellow cloth is the glory, right? But Sri Krishna is the yoga. So I want to be united with you. Since I want to be united with you in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, I want to be reminded of you. Therefore, you speak of your glory in all aspects, whichever aspects you think. I would like to listen to you. By which glory is pervading these worlds, you exist even beyond it. I being part of this universe, I will be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. When I am seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, if I can see you through the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, then what will happen? Slowly my subconscious will be filled with you. Then I can come to single-pointed devotion. Then I can sit on the seat of meditation. All this world you pervade and you exist. You are existing either through this world, you are existing beyond this world, you are existing before this world. I can only know you through your glories. I am at the moment unable to know you in essence. Through your glories, I want to fill my subconscious. That is why it is important what you hear. It's important, isn't it? What kind of thoughts you have filled yourself inside? He says, I want to hear about you. Katam vidyamaham yogim, katam vidyamaham yogim, tvam sada parichintayan, tvam sada parichintayan, keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, chidyosi bhagavanmaya, chidyosi bhagavanmaya, katam vidyamaham yogim, tvam sada parichintayan, keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, chidyosi bhagavanmaya. How may I know you, O yogin? You are a great yogi. Yogi means you remaining in the, you remaining as Brahman, also express yourself as this entire universe. You are a great yogi. You know, yogi, in him there is Maya Shakti. Expressing his Maya Shakti, he has created this entire universe. And therefore you are a great yogi. How may I know you, O yogin? Through constant meditation. In what all aspects are you to be thought of by me, O blessed Lord? Why am I asking this glory to be spoken by you? Because I want to think of you. Because ultimately what matters is bringing myself to constancy of thought. Because what did you say in chapter 9, verse 22? Do you remember that verse? I said it's a very important verse. It's almost the geometrical center of the Gita. How does it start? Even if you forget the verse. Chapter 9.
Those men worship me.
Sanskrit. Ananya chinta. Chinta means thought. Anya chinta means other thought. Ananya chinta means no other thought.
I must have constancy of thought on Brahman. Therefore I am asking you to talk on the glories of Brahman.
Ultimately, I told you, what thoughts goes inside creates your destiny. I want to put the thoughts of Brahman in me. What kind of samskaras do you put inside you? I want to put the samskaras of Brahman. So he says, how may I know you, O yogi? Through constant meditation. That's all I'm interested in. So, in what all aspects are you to be taught by me? Please, therefore, I'm requesting you for you to talk on glories, your own glories. In each and every aspect, you tell me how you are pervading it. You know, then it will become easy for me. So thereafter, whatever I see, I'll only be thinking about Brahman. I want to bring myself to the full-time awareness of truth, constancy of thought. The whole idea is to get your mind established. Once the mind is established, thereafter whatever you see, you only see that. We'll do one more verse, because with that Arjuna's question finishes. Then Sri Krishna will start talking about the Vibhuti from 19, which we can see next week. So let's 18th verse. Vistarenatmano yogam, vistarenatmano yogam, vibhutim cha janardhana, vibhutim cha janardhana, Bhūya kataya triptirhi śrudvato nāsti mīmṛtam vistare nātmano yogam vibhūtim ca janārdhana Bhūya kataya triptirhi śrudvato nāsti mīmṛtam. Tell me again in detail. Almost begin. See, you want to show your intent. When you go to a guru, see, guru wants to test your real intent. How much you really want to know? Huh? It is just because it will lose its veracity, your knowledge. It's the prepared mind that gets benefit. That is why Jesus has said, don't cast pearls before swine. Because it will lose. Today, unfortunately, this is the problem, you know. This knowledge is being, is so much in available in the internet and everything, it loses its value. Yeah, I know, aham brahmasmi. That's what much. Everybody, you know, as if it's some casually discussed, anyway. You know? And so many books and it loses its value. So he's, tell me again in detail. Oh Janardana, protector of people, do not protect me by telling me this? Do you leave me? Yeah? See, you got to do tapas and get it. Actually what is happening is, otherwise you, first of all you won't get it. That is why qualities talked about, for a Shishya, one of the qualities talked about is Acharya Upasana. Acharya Upasana is translated as service to the Guru. Now, this service to the Guru is not because Guru is in need of your service. What they talk about is a transference of energy to happen, you have to empty yourself. Right? Being in the presence of the Guru, doing service to the Guru, you empty yourself and the energy of the Guru transfers to you. So Acharya means, Charya is the root, one who walks, one who lives the knowledge. He is Acharya. So Upasana means you are sitting near the Guru, serving the Guru, keeping yourself empty, and in the presence it happens. It's not just by reading books mechanically. So you are Janardana, you are protector of people. So for my protection, you do not give this. Tell me again in detail of your yoga and manifestation. I already told you. Yoga and manifestation means Brahman and the world. For there is no satiety for me in hearing the nectarine. When a person's mind starts getting attuned to listening to the subtle, thereafter it doesn't go to gross. And subtle is something that you hear again and again, you still not get bored. You know? There is a gross.
After a few times you get bored.
So he says, yours is a big train.
Something deeper. I want to hear again and again.
And next week, Sri Krishna will start up.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा
बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावा करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.